My great pleasure to join you today for the 13th session of the United Nations Forum on Minority Issues. States have the primary responsibility to protect their populations from genocide, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and ethnic cleansing, as well as their incitement. This is an obligation which has been reaffirmed on numerous occasions, including in the 2005 World Summit Outcome Document, in which states affirmed their responsibility to protect. The word populations refers to all people living within a state's territory, whether citizens or not, and including minority groups. This obligation is also set out in the Declaration on the Rights of Persons Belonging to National or Ethnic, Religious, and Linguistic Minorities, according to which the primary duty of states in relation to religious minorities is to protect their fundamental rights and security and ensure that state actors themselves are not contributing to the insecurity of these minorities. Regrettably, reports from around the world reveal that minorities are often marginalized, stigmatized, and discriminated against. As a matter of fact, minorities often find themselves in conditions of structural vulnerability, which can lead to a vicious cycle of discrimination, hostility, insecurity, and violence. We are all too familiar with the gross violations committed against the Rohingyas in Myanmar and the Yazidis in Iraq, violations which, if determined by a competent court, may even amount to atrocity crimes, including the crime of genocide. The situation of minorities is further compounded by the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, an unprecedented crisis from a health and human rights perspective. We know that crises, including outbreaks, create anxiety and fear that are key ingredients for racism and xenophobia to thrive. Hate speech is the most blatant manifestation of these phenomena. Since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, all regions have seen increased trends of hate speech based on ethnic and religious identity, as well as migration status. Xenophobia has surged online and in the streets. Anti-Semitic conspiracy theories have spread, and COVID-19-related anti-Muslim attacks have occurred. Migrants and refugees have been vilified as a source of the virus and then denied access to medical treatment. In some countries, political leaders have used labels like foreigner's disease to describe COVID-19, fueling stigmatization of minority groups, racism, and xenophobia. Social media platforms have been used to propagate hate. Hate speech against minorities, including the one that is COVID-19 related, has very serious short and long-term implications. It renders those targeted more vulnerable to violence, exposing them to increased exclusion, isolation, and stigmatization. It inhibits members of minorities from accessing vital services, including medical care. It may also exacerbate underlying social and economic inequalities, aggravate drivers of violence, and undermine social cohesion. In its most serious form, it can trigger social unrest and violence, and may even be an indicator of the risk of atrocity crimes. In June 2019, the UN Secretary General launched the United Nations Strategy and Plan of Action on Hate Speech. This strategy represents the commitment of the organization to counter and address growing global trends of hate speech in line with international human rights law, and in particular with freedom of opinion and expression. My office, the UN Office on Genocide Prevention and the Responsibility to Protect, serves as UN system-wide focal point for the implementation of this strategy. In this context, we are providing support to UN country teams and peace operations to develop country and mission-specific plans of action to combat hate speech. We recently launched a detailed guidance for field entities that aims at facilitating and streamlining this support. We have doubled our efforts during the current pandemic to address and counter hate speech. On 8th of May 2020, the United Nations Secretary General warned about the COVID-19 pandemic, unleashing a tsunami of hate and xenophobia, scapegoating, and scaremongering. And he urged governments to act now to strengthen the immunity of our societies against the virus of hate. To respond to this appeal, my office launched a guidance note that provides recommendations to political, religious, and community leaders, education institutions, and tech and social media companies. As I mentioned before, member states have the primary responsibility to protect minorities, including by addressing and countering hate speech. Government leaders need to act decisively to address the trend, and repeatedly and publicly condemning racism is an important part of any government's response. They also have to adopt special public education initiatives, expand public outreach, promote respect for diversity, counter hate speech by disseminating positive and alternative narratives, aggressively investigate and prosecute hate crimes, and offer support to victimized communities. However, all actors, including social media companies, must play their part. Indeed, these platforms have a responsibility to protect users against hateful and xenophobic content and should invest adequate resources to addressing it and mitigating its harm. For this reason, amongst other issues, my office has prioritized the engagement with these companies in implementing the UN strategy on hate speech. In this context, in June this year, we organized a roundtable with social media companies on their role and responsibility to implement the strategy. By upholding human rights, including by addressing and countering hate speech against minorities, states not only set the foundations for protection structures within their national borders, but also create the conditions for social stability and cohesion to thrive, thus building resilience to atrocity crimes. Clearly, protection is prevention. It is my hope we can continue to work together to address and counter hate speech towards the societies we want. Thank you for your attention.